I want to welcome everyone to Family Times Magazine podcast. Today I have a very special guest, maybe my most special guest, and that is my dad. Hi, Dad.
Hey, Barry. How are you?
Thanks for being on today. So I'm just going to call him Dad, but those of you who know him, and he's not your dad, you would call him Larry Fuquay. It's really exciting to have you on as a guest because this is Family Times Magazine, and it doesn't get much more family than having your dad on as your guest. So I have a series of questions here I'm going to ask you today.
Okay.
You've not reviewed these questions.
No.
Usually I do let my guests have some questions in advance, but for you, it's going to be very organic.
That's good.
Okay. We'll do it. You're from Ocala. And you were born here in 1955. So you have seen a great deal of things change in Ocala over the course of 60 plus years. Tell us how you've seen Ocala change living here your entire life.
Well, I was born at Monroe. I can tell you that as I grew up, like let's just say our elementary years, actually where I went to elementary school, Central Elementary, which a lot of people my age would remember, is gone now. Mm-hmm. That's the Marion County School office down there now.
Oh.
And so they shifted us over to 8th Street when I was in the fifth grade. There was only Ocala High and Howard High then. So I grew up on the northeast section of town thinking that I was going to go to Osceola and Ocala High. And as things grew, different subdivisions popped up. They decided they were going to build another school. So where we had pretty much nothing going on, we got a big boom when the interstate came through and everything started pushing west. Highway 200 got really, really big. The mall came in. Different high schools were being built. And up to the present where you've got the really big, big, big businesses moving in. So just in the time that I've lived here, there's been a big change with businesses and population and things, but Ocala pretty much still has a local feel to me, even though I've got friends that I graduated with. I'd only maybe run into them every now and then, but it's still got that kind of a little hometown feel to it. And I appreciate some of the places that they haven't messed up or destroyed or rebuilt. And it's even hard for me sometimes to remember when somebody says, hey, do you remember what was located in down, you know, where? And I'm like, gosh, no, I can't. I can't even remember that. But I'm glad I was afforded the opportunity to stay and see the things that I've seen and enjoy the things that I've seen. And I wouldn't trade Ocala for anywhere.
Well, you talk about some places that you remember, and that was actually one of my questions to you, to name off some places that you remember growing up that maybe are no longer here.
Well, you know, the old post office building was relocated and rebuilt. A couple of the fire stations, the main fire station that was down near the square is gone. Even though I never attended it, they had the old Cat's Corner down there, which that was built for the high school kids over on that side of town. And there's been some eateries and things that come and go, which is, you know, that's always hard. But it was funny because I was thinking this morning, I took a little walk with my wife around Tuscarora this morning, and seemed like almost yesterday that I was over at Tuscarora Park playing Little League or going down to the rec center where you could rent a game out or a ball out and play, and you played till they closed, I guess, around 5, and you went home. And so the old rec department building is kind of still there, but back in the day, man, that was a big deal. You know, that was a built-in babysitting service down there. You just go down there and spend all day, and you could rent things that you might not normally have at home, board games and basketball courts and tennis and stuff. I know there's people that can remember doing that too. It was a fun thing to think back on this morning, and I just kind of shared it with my wife. The actual rec center, Kelly, was a small building, but it was indoors. They had a pool table in there, and they had tables and stuff in there where you could come in there and sit down with books or games. Now, the Discovery Center over there had a basketball court up on the top. They would have, like, a rec league where you could go over and play during the summer and stuff over there. And if I'm not mistaken, I think the woman's name was Miss Brown that ran that place in there. And if, you know, if you wanted to go down and spend the day down there, you could go down there. Didn't cost you a dime. That kind of stuff, that was the only place I ever knew of they did that around here. Maybe a Boys and Girls Club or YMCA, I don't know. I never did go to those places. They were mm-hmm. too far to get to.
Well, and that's when kids used to actually go outdoors and play and meet one another and not just sit inside on video games all day. So a lot's changed.
A lot has. Even in our neighborhood where I grew up there around Wyoming Park School, there was a park down there called Torrey Park. And that was where all the neighborhood kids hung out. And you could never go by there that there wasn't some kind of sandlot football game going on down there. And now you can drive down there and they've got a swing set and a couple picnic tables and stuff. And you might see somebody doing that, but you don't see the full scale kids out there from daylight to dark playing football and frisbees or, you know, anything they could find down there in mm-hmm. that park to do. That's what was going on when I was growing up. But you just don't see that anymore down there.
You talked about Ocala High School, and I know Ocala High School split off at some point, right, and became Forest and Vanguard High School.
Right.
And you ended up at Vanguard High School.
Right.
So I wanted to talk to you about that a little bit because I know you played football when you were at Vanguard, but then immediately after you graduated, you got involved in coaching at Vanguard. And I don't know that you've ever really not been involved on some level when it comes to coaching at Vanguard. So I wanted to ask you how you kind of got into that. Likewise, I wanted to ask you what you think makes for a great coach.
Actually, when I was going through Vanguard, when it came time in the 12th grade to decide, hey, what are you going to do the rest of your life? I honestly intended to be a coach. I actually went to CFCC to get credits enough to be a coach. But during that stint, my dad came to me. My granddad was retiring. We had a small family business that he started. My dad was fixing to take it over. My dad came to me and asked me, he said, hey, look, granddad's fixing to retire. How would you feel about coming and working with me out here and keeping the family business going? So I didn't give it much thought. I immediately decided that's what I would do. But as it worked out, that job, that decision allowed me to coach more or less as a hobby. Because when you work for yourself or your own boss or whatever, you can kind of dictate your own schedule. And so in the afternoons, I made sure I was free. And that's how I got to go. I never worked for the county. I've only had one job, and that's Fuquay Sawmill. That's the only job I've ever had since I was a teenager. But I never worked for the county, but I always coached as a volunteer. And I knew if I did coach, that's what I wanted to coach. Now, I started out coaching in the Marion County Football League, which was the Marion County Independent Football League back then. And I got to coach a couple of years, junior division, and then moved up to the seniors. And then when Jim Yancey came into Vanguard his first year, he offered me a chance to come over and coach at the high school. And that's what I ultimately wanted to do. And once I got there, when he left and his brother Philip took over, it was just one of them things that just snowballed into about 35 years worth of it, you know.
So and, what do you think makes for a great coach? Because you've been a coach, like you said, for so many decades. You've worked with a great deal of coaches.
I've always admired coaches like Bear Bryant and tried to steal all the good stuff that you see a coach that is successful doing. I can only speak for myself. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, if you're going to be a good coach, you got to treat everybody the same. I believe you treat everybody as they should be treated. And so if you stay honest and you stay fair and you set your ground rules down, you'll be tested. All of them are. Every kids come in, will test you. But if they know that, hey, he is not going to budge, you know, a lot of coaches will say, oh, it's my way or the highway. Well, that's an easy thing to say. But to me, it's like, look, if you'll do it my way, it will be for the betterment of you. And I've just been super fortunate at Vanguard to coach the kids I coached over there. Really good, hardworking kids. The same kind of kids that I was growing up. You know, you don't lay around and do nothing all day and go to practice. You know, you may be working a job or mowing grass or doing something, and then you have to hustle over and you have to practice. And those kids will put the effort out, but you have to invest in them. And I think the coaches have done a pretty good job of that over at Vanguard. When that school was formed, we were at a real financial disadvantage as far as being able to have nice things going in. But that was one of my missions. I said, you know, we may not have the best, but we're going to look like we got the best. And so that's why I've always tried to donate a bunch of time and effort into fundraising, making sure that program looked good. My good friend Todd Swearingen said, it's all about the optics. When you dress up our football team and put them out on the field, it gets everybody's attention. We used to always talk about, yeah, you know, everybody's doing everything they want to do until we roll up. When we roll up, we open the bus doors and everybody turns around and looks to see what gets off that bus. They kind of know, but they're fixing to realize what's walking off that bus, and we always try to look good doing it.
Well, I think Vanguard's always look good, but I'm a little biased myself, having gone there.
Well, you know, Vanguard's had a terrible rap, an insane amount of bad publicity put out on a school that doesn't deserve it. And really and truly, as far as our school goes, our kids go, if people knew how hard that we work to be noticed, and how little negative publicity the kids actually bring on themselves, but if they had a chance to be as good as us or do what we've done, our success, they would take it in a heartbeat.
So you also mentioned that you have worked a small business your entire life, that being Fuquay Sawmill. How many years have you worked out there?
I don't know. I remember when I was in Babe Ruth, my early 13, 14 year Babe Ruth teams, I would stack boards for my granddad in the morning and then go down to his house, take a shower, change into my Babe Ruth uniform, and either go up to Garrig Field up there or all the way over to the old Forest High School to play, you know, in the afternoons. You know, there's some discrepancy, but that business all totaled has probably been in existence 80 plus years. And like I say, I went into there right out of high school for sure, but I was there pre-high school years working summers and anytime I was needed, really. So I racked up a lot of hours on 27.
So you went from basically stacking boards and then eventually became the owner-operator of the sawmill for many, many years. And I know we've seen you operate small business on a handshake, which now in 2021 isn't really the norm. Tell us a little bit about your small business ethic and what you think makes for a great small business.
In my situation, and probably I think a lot of small businesses, the person in charge is the business. My thing was, I knew that for us to be successful, we had to have repeat business. And of course, this business started out and worked many, many years before social media. So it was word of mouth, good or bad. And if you had the good, you would get repeat business and people would pass your name on. If it was bad, they just tore up your business card and forgot about you. I always felt like, look, I'm not going to get up every morning and be aggravated and miserable doing what I'm doing. I'm going to get up every morning. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to have a schedule. I'm going to try to stick to that schedule. But I realize that in a blink of an eye, it can change due to breakdown or something happening or another order come in that's more pressing than something that you're working on that people don't have to have right away. So it's not easy sometimes having to grin and bear it. But in my business, as small as we were, you know, you had to deal with a lot of big, big egos. So you just had to understand, how do you want to talk to this person? How do you want to handle that person? And of course, coming up back in the day, purchasing agents didn't change like they did now. You know, you get a purchasing agent come in there, they're liable to stay there and put in 25, 30 years at a company. And all they know is dealing with you and your company. Now you get a purchasing agent come in, he sets up his computer. In 6 months, he's taking a new job. He's taking his computer and all the contacts with him, and he's gone. And you're starting all over with somebody else. And so you better be able to handle all that and be able to talk to people and work with people, or they're going to go somewhere else. If you give them a reason to be disgruntled, look somewhere else, they probably will do it.
That's one of the things I've learned from you in my small business at the magazine is relationships. If someone's my advertiser, I don't want to just take their check and run their ad and then I'll see you in 2 months. You know, I want to stay in touch with them and see what they're doing and how their business is going and check in with them and say, how can we help your business between print issues and get to know their business. And if I can take them for a coffee or do something to build those relationships, it's important because a lot of times people will do business with you simply because that relationship is strong.
Well, and what I would do, because it was kind of unique, is if I had a truck running late or a truck coming through on the weekend, say, hey, look, I'll meet you out there. I'll stay until you get here and load you. You got a logger, a guy that works, you know, he goes paycheck to paycheck, and he's got a load of logs, and he's broke down along the road, and all of a sudden he gets ready to come in. He calls you, and he says, hey, I've been broke down. I just got a tire fixed. I can't make it this afternoon. Will you guys be there, you know, in the morning? I say, hey, if you're close enough, come on in. You can, I'll meet you out here. We'll turn the lights on. We'll pull two or three pickup trucks up here and turn the lights on to get you unloaded so you can get another load Those things right there, they don't forget those things.
Right.
You meet somebody on a weekend and do something special for them when you don't have to unload in a truck or be in there for them, they remember that. And the ones that don't, you probably weren't going to have a long relationship right. with them anyway.
That's right.
But I just felt like those are simple things. Yeah, I may be inconvenienced. I may miss a Saturday afternoon ball game because I got to go out to the mill and wait on two trucks to come in mm-hmm. to load them out with mulch, mats or something. But to me, it was... There'll be more ball games.
Right.
But I need more business.
That's right.
So that's why I'm there.
I agree. And you did that for a long time and have recently retired. So let's talk about retirement for a little bit. You are recently retired. I mean, just.
Yeah. Like Monday.
Like Monday.
So I'm no expert on retirement.
That's
You'll
right.
have to get somebody better suited to talk about that subject. I've been blessed out there. Even right now to the end, things are falling in place for me where it's allowed me to be where I'm at. Fuquay Sawmill is not closed. What I did was I was fortunate enough to be able to put a four-year lease on the business. So essentially they're paying me to stay home and stay out of the way, which I'm okay with.
Fantastic.
I'll do that for
them. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out a way to do the same exact thing.
I understand and I'll try to help you with that.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, this week was the first week that I physically didn't mm-hmm. go back to work after all those years. And you know, it's kind of bittersweet. I was looking forward to not having to work. I wanted it in the right situation, mm-hmm. and lo and behold, I think I've got it. But yet, you know, that place is more than just sawdust mm-hmm. and dirt, you know.
Sure.
It's family, it's where I grew up, and, you know, it's hard to just turn your back and not want to go back out. And I mean, I'll find reasons to go back out and do whatever, but this is what I ultimately wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to be back out of it. Let somebody else handle it and move on, get into a new phase of my life. And mm-hmm. that's where I'm at.
I'm sure not many people feel that way when they retire, that it's hard for them and that they want to still be connected to that in some way, because I've known a lot of people just in jobs I've had who have retired and it's like, goodbye, good riddance. So that tells you that you really loved and cared about what you were doing, because I've seen people do quite the opposite. They don't want to think about that place. They don't care. They've been counting down the days. It couldn't happen fast enough.
I know plenty of people like that. And this was not one of those, hey, here's your watch, see you later,
yeah.
goodbye kind of thing. Like I said, I'm thankful it's still up and running and not just a ghost yard out there now. I'm happy. I'm looking forward to being able to do things on my time frame now.
Like podcasts.
And
you never know, this might be your next gig.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you have any big plans for retirement, or should I say, does mom have any big plans for you?
Me and your mother's talked about things, and what I appreciate about her is she's not willing to rush into anything.
Mm-hmm.
She knows that, you know, retirement is retirement.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how many days you got left on this earth, but we're not going to try to cram everything into a small period of time either. You know, it's going to take some getting used to. We don't have any big time plans. We've got things that we have put off doing that now we have time to do them. Luckily for us, I think we probably be a little more spontaneous now than we were before.
Great.
You know, always felt like when you own your own business, you couldn't get too far away from
right.
it. I know I couldn't. It was too much to stay on top of. So we never did go for any prolonged length of time anywhere in state. And even if you did, you still had to check your messages
yep.
and bid jobs or do whatever you had to do to make sure it's there when you get back. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm fired up, really. I'm going to see what's down the road. I'm not looking forward to any kind of going back, getting myself locked down to any specific thing.
Mm-mm.
But I am opened up to any, you know, any little special come over and have dinners and stuff like that.
Yeah, all the fun stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
And on the subject of mom, probably out of everything you've mentioned, your greatest accomplishment, you guys were high school sweethearts. Mom loves to tell the story that when, as soon as she laid eyes on you, she said, I'm going to marry him. And lo and behold, somehow her magic worked. So you guys just celebrated an anniversary very recent. I think it was 44 years, she mm-hmm. said.
Right.
So that's quite the accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys have kind of grown up together.
Well, we have. And that situation was, you know, all worked out because she came from Pensacola, moved here with her family. And we wound up going to Vanguard. So, yeah, we met at high school, sweetheart. She says it was love at first sight for her, not so much me. I mean, I wasn't, you know, last thing I was thinking about was getting married or anything to any particular anybody. And I didn't know what I was going to do when I got out of high school. But as it worked out, I stayed here and we dated, and she was just the one. I mean, she's my best friend. She understands almost everything about me before, you know, I even have to say it. And that's spooky sometimes because I'm like, oh, no.
That is spooky.
But she deserves this retirement as much as I do. And I'm thankful that I'm positioned to give it to her because she has put in the time. Mm-hmm. She's allowed me to do all the things I wanted. I mean, she was there when I coached. Not really something she wanted me to do. It took time away from even y'all, you and Taylor and her as well. And she allowed me to do it and play softball for many, many years on traveling teams and stuff. Those were good times. But now I think with retirement, it's going to be more, you know, our time now, you know. And that's how we're kind of looking at it.
Well, you mentioned me and Taylor, who is my younger sister, for those who don't know. So who's your favorite kid?
Well, there's a neighbor kid down the street. Yeah.
Well, okay. I thought I would throw it in, maybe just zing it out there and see if, but I, okay. That's yeah. fine. Okay. We'll check that question off.
Yeah, let's leave
That's
that
an off air thing. Yeah. So when you first became a dad, which was in 1979, I'll never forget it. Probably my best day ever.
Yeah.
I mean, were you scared? Were you excited? I mean, what were your thoughts and emotions around this life-changing event?
I think you go when you're young and you're a guy, you think, okay, I'm going to have a son.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden the doctor says, congratulations, you have a, and it seemed like it took him forever to say it. And all of a sudden he said, a girl. And I'm like, what? You better check that again, doc. I'm supposed to have a boy. What are you talking about? And that's funny because people's always said, well, gosh, Larry, you know, I figured to try to have a son and you got a business. You want to have a son to leave it to and everything. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. Girls, for me, are just special. It's been nothing but good for me. I mean, I love you and your sister. And then here comes four granddaughters. And I'm like, well, now, what am I being really tested for? Now I got two daughters and four granddaughters and no boy anywhere.
No.
But I tell you, as a young parent, I knew that I was going to be a good father. I mean, I had told myself I don't care what happens. Mm-hmm. You're going to stay together. You're going to raise this child. Cause I didn't know how many we were going to have. I figured we'd have a couple, but I wasn't sure. But I knew that I was going to be there. I wasn't going to be a dad that left or found a reason to not be there and not be a part of your life and all. That was not even a question to me. I already knew that going in. That was my main goal. Now, you can't replace a mom and daughter thing. Mm-hmm. Thank God that's there mm-hmm. for that bridge. But it's awesome, I think, having daughters. And then you meet some men along the way, too, that they bring into your life. And so you wind up having son-in-laws, which essentially turn into about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the best of both worlds, really. It's turned out right. It's turned out really good. And I'm thankful for both you and your sister. Y'all been awesome. Awesome
well,
kids.
You're welcome for making it easy for you. I can't speak for Taylor. She is probably more difficult.
She was a hellion, wasn't she?
So bad.
Always in trouble.
Just so bad.
And so mouthy.
So, man, so opinionated, unlike me. That's funny. So how is it different being a grandparent and being a parent?
Well, for me, it's one of those things where it's just another generation of little lives to be a part of, mm-hmm. you know, and we're thankful that we have our grandkids living here, all of them, and not way away to where we don't get to see them, but just maybe a holiday or something. So it's certainly less stressful with a grandkid, but it's exciting too, because you don't get to see them, you know, every night. You're not tucking them in. And so when you do get to see them, it seems like it's always something fresh and new that mm-hmm. they got that you can learn and do with them and things. I like it. I like being a grandparent. There's a lot of directions you can go right now. And so it's fun. It's exciting. And I want to be a part of all of them's lives as long as I can.
I'm sure that you will, because we all have such different personalities. Our girls have different personalities. It's
that
always fun being around them. So I'm sure that we will keep you very busy during your retirement with all of their goings-ons.
Yes.
If you could go back and give your 20-year-old self some advice, what would it be?
It would be to get more internet savvy.
Mm-hmm.
I let the computer age come and pass me by simply because I didn't want to take the time to learn it all.
Mm-hmm.
I was more focused on the grunt work part of the deal. The technology and stuff came so fast. Instead of being one of these guys that think, oh, this is so new, this is so awesome, I want to learn all this. I didn't. It wasn't something that I cared to do. I would delegate it to somebody, mm-hmm. let them learn it, tell them what I needed to know about it, and do it. I don't want to have to sit down at a keyboard and mm-hmm. and log in and do all the that just the noise drives me crazy mm-hmm. of a keyboard.
Yeah.
I never did really get that involved. And that is the one thing that I knew I did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I should have embraced it. I should have took whatever classes I needed to stay up with it. And it would have made a huge difference. It came so fast and went so far,
mm-hmm.
I felt like there was no catching up. And so that is the number one thing that I would have changed back in the day if I could have.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, if it makes you feel any better, you can learn something today, and by next week or maybe even tomorrow, it's changed. So even if you would have spent all that time learning something, unless you really kept up with it, it slips away from you. It's insane how much it changes. And so now in your retirement, you can take some computer classes.
Well,
right?
I've just actually got to where I could text a little bit now.
Hey,
you know how long it took me to ever get a phone.
I know.
You know, I used to go hunting with my buddies, and they'd be four of us in a truck, and three of them would be on a phone because they had one, and mm-hmm. I didn't have one, and I'm just back there, you know, kicked back, not worrying about it.
I know.
And now, you know, moved up to a smartphone. Look out now.
Hey.
You don't know. I may have time to play
around. I know. I remember having probably the only typewriter that still exists in Marion County.
Still using it.
It's still in your, yeah.
Matter of fact, the very week that I left, I typed out an invoice on it.
Typewriter.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Well, I ask each of your granddaughters if they had a question for you that they wanted me.
Granddaughters?
Granddaughters.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So your oldest granddaughter's question is, what are your three favorite songs?
Well, I just played. Is Alexa here going to hear this?
She might if you say it loud enough.
Okay. Well, just, what was it, yesterday or day before yesterday, I was over at Taylor's and we were outside. And I played three songs that I wanted to hear. I don't know why I like them. Don't read anything into it.
Okay.
Okay. I like Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses.
That's great.
I like Candle in the Wind by Elton John about Marilyn Monroe. I've always liked Marilyn Monroe. Mom will tell you that.
That's a classic.
No, you know, disrespect to Mom, but I've always liked her.
It's all right. You get a pass.
Thank you. And then one of the top three is Red Letters. Those three I played the other day
mm-hmm.
that I asked Alexa to play. And I was just sitting there by myself. I could have asked for any songs. But those just came to mind. I just wanted to hear them. So I'm not saying they're necessarily my favorite, but I do like them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was in good time for Lily's question then.
I know she probably could find them in vinyl and like them.
Probably so. All right. Gracie, your next eldest granddaughter, has this question for you. What is the favorite pet you've had in your lifetime?
Well, I haven't had many pets. I've had, you know, two or three different ones, but I can tell you, the one that I most favor is one that's out at the office right now. It's a red devil. It's a fish.
Mm-hmm.
And all it takes is walking in and dropping some pellets over there and walking away. That's my idea of taking care of a pet.
Mm.
I don't have to have a pooper scooper or anything else for that fish.
I get it. Having a dog, sometimes I get it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a good one. Okay. Madison has a question for you. Pop. Would you like some Oreos?
Okay. She's very good at that. When I go over to her house, she knows if there's any Oreos in the house, mm-hmm. she goes and gets them and brings them to me. She'll say, Pop, do you want Oreos or salted peanuts? And because she's always seen me like those. And, Usually she'll bring me the mini Oreos, which are fine. I like those. But the double stuffed are the best for me.
Yeah.
So if you, you know. But yes, anytime I'm over there, if there's some over there, she's more than welcome to bring me some.
Okay. That was a great question. That was her question.
It was.
And then Finley, the youngest of all, did not really have a specific question for you. All we could get from her was something about fishies. We don't know if she wants to go fishing, if she wants you to buy her fish.
That recently?
That was this morning.
Oh, well, she's probably talking about, I went to Madison and Gracie's tennis lessons on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And Taylor had a snack bag packed, and there was some goldfish in it. And she had the goldfish out eating it, and I just happened to reach in the bag to get one, and boy, she didn't like that too good.
Oh, okay.
So I'm thinking she wants me to get my own.
Right. So her question is, would you please leave her fishies
if
alone?
If I would leave her goldfishies alone,
gotcha,
and get my own.
Okay. Very
which
good.
Which makes sense.
Okay. And the last question we have for you comes from Mom.
Oh.
And she says, you have been a hero to so many people. Who is your hero and why?
She would ask a question.
Of course. Well, first of all, let me say this. I said, Mom, give me one question for Dad. Of course, she sent me several.
Yeah.
But most of them, I think you've already answered throughout this interview. So that, to me, was the standout question, which I thought would make for a great wrap to the interview.
Well, I hate to pin one person as a hero. I even hate to label them as a hero because I don't deserve being labeled as a hero. Soldiers and cops and firefighters, those people are heroic. But if she's asking me to pin down one person, I think she would probably already know it would be my granddad.
Mm-hmm.
He was an amazing guy, hardworking guy, didn't have paper to prove his education, but the man was incredibly smart. He had a lot of insight, which I wish I could have had. I don't feel like I had the insight he had. He could see something before it was built. He could see something before it happened business-wise. He knew the right moves to make and to be prepared for things, which I always admired. He taught me everything from how to handle money. For a long time, I didn't think I would ever need a checkbook because he never dealt in checks. He always dealt in cash. He had a very hard work ethic, and he treated his guys the way that I tried to treat mine. You know, yeah, they worked for me, and I expected them to do their job, but if they had some special need, air conditioning fixed or something on a car so they would have transportation, it only made sense to help. I mean, I saw him every day, and I used to think to myself, he has worked himself in a position where he could buy nicer things than he had.
Mm-hmm.
But he always drove a beat-up old pickup truck, and he lived in a very modest home, and he had modest things in it. And I knew full and well he had the money in the bank to buy the best bass boat or whatever, but he had an old used bass boat, now if he really wanted something, like if he wanted a new rifle, he would go down and back in the day, Art Lawson, that was his big go-to, him down in Pasture Sport Shop. He would go down and he would buy him a brand new rifle. You know, $500 back then is a lot of money, but if it cost $500, he bought it. And he went down to Turnip Seed Chevrolet one time. We were going to go out west hunting, and Granddad wanted a truck to drive out there. Well, Granddad went down to Turnip Seed. They had a truck down there. I'll never forget it. It was lime green.
Mm.
And he said, do you have a dark green one in this make and model? Guy said, no, Mr. John, only thing I got is this lime green one. And he said, well, how about taking it in your paint booth back there and paint it dark green? So he made them take that into the paint booth and paint it dark green. And they added an extra gas tank on it so we didn't have to stop so many times for gas. And went down there and paid them cash for it. He was very simple, but he was very unique. And Mom says all the time, oh, I can see your grandfather in you. If she can, that's a compliment, because I would not shy away from that compliment at any time.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dad, I thank you so much for being on this podcast today. These conversations for us are very common, but I think for people that know you, that don't know some of these things about you, that will be great. And plus, you've been the husband, you've been the father, the grandfather, the business owner, the retiree. I mean, you check every box when it comes to family. So for me, you're the perfect guest to have today, and I just thank you for being here.
I thank you for having me. It was an easy conversation to have with you being my daughter. It's certainly been fun. I can't find many reasons to ever tell you no.
All right. Well, you heard that. That's on record now. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Remember to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Podbean and Google and Apple and Amazon, Spotify. You can even ask Alexa to play Family Times Magazine podcast on TuneIn, and she will happily play it for you. And thank everybody for listening. Make sure you also find us on Facebook and on Instagram, where we play these podcasts in addition to many, many other Family Times Magazine related things. We hope that everyone has a great day today. Dad, I hope you have a great day today, being retired and living your best life.
Living the dream now.
All right. Bye-bye.